Last week, the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith, if you recall. And Jesus told them that it's not about quantity, that each of us has the appropriate amount of grace necessary to fulfill our vocation. We don't need more. We have enough. And sometimes it feels like we don't have enough because our vocation is here and we're over here. So sometimes we become frustrated because we're trying to do something that maybe God has not asked us to do, and we think, well, this is just too difficult, or God isn't giving me the grace that I need. But in fact, He has. So just think of two very simple sacraments that we have in our church, sacraments of service, matrimony. Now, if we approach matrimony as if it's just about us, the couple, then we're not going to have the grace. It's about the couple forming a communion of self-sacrificing love for the other, which begets life and creates service to the world. The service is the life and the community. But if we approach marriage that it's just about me and my spouse, and we go off in our little world and we just lovey-dovey and all that, that's not what the sacrament's about. It's about service to the world, to the community. So if we approach it with the recognition that my call is to lay down my life for my spouse, it's going to be very difficult. But you'll have the grace to do it. And if I'm laying down my life for my spouse and my children, and it's frustrating, I lose patience, but the grace is there. If we seek it, if we fall on it, the priesthood, the other sacrament of service, you know, my call is to pray the liturgy of the hours, to offer Mass daily, to minister to my people, minister the parish. If I think that I don't really need to pray Mass every day because I've got a tea time, there's going to be a problem there. If I start to think of myself that, you know, the liturgy of the hours is kind of dull, I'd rather, you know, do something else. Well, then the grace isn't going to be there because my call is to be someone who is praying for the world, praying for the church, etc. So we have what we need to live out our vocation. We don't need more. Now this week is the readings are about two healings we hear in the first and the gospel. And they're also about two movements of conversion. So let's look at the gospel first. It's the most obvious. 10 lepers approach Jesus and ask for healing. And Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priest, which is the prescription. He's the one that would validate that they're healed and can come back to the community. So on their way, because they're doing what he told them to do, so the first part of that is the obedience. If they would have said, no, we're not going to go show ourselves to the priest, tell the priest to come and see us, wouldn't have worked. But their actions show that they had faith in Jesus. We don't understand why he's telling us to go to the priest, but we'll do it. And on their way, they're healed. One comes back, though, and he's the Samaritan, which is the unclean, the one that's not part of the community. And he's the one who recognizes the healing that took place. And this is so important for us because sometimes you and I in our own lives often are asking God to heal us. And God is healing us in ways that we don't recognize because it's not the particular healing we may have asked for. But he's doing something more profound, more deeper, at a deeper level. And we don't often recognize it, how important it is for us to become more aware of our life and what God is doing in our lives. So look at the first reading again. Naaman is a Syrian, and he is a great king. And he and Elisha have had this back and forth dialogue with each other for a number of chapters. Elisha the prophet comes to him. Naaman has gotten leprosy as well. And, you know, he's gone to all the doctors or whatever they had in those days for help, and none have been able to help him. All of a sudden, Elisha the prophet comes up and says, if you jump in the river and go in seven times, you'll be healed. Now, a great king being told to jump in the Grand River in order to be healed isn't going to go over so well. So a lot like those 10 lepers who could have said, no, tell the priest to come to us. We're important people after all. That's what Naaman is doing. His pride is the one that is really the sickness, not his leprosy. You know, the leprosy is really just the fruit, but the root of his sickness is his pride. He's unwilling to humble himself. You know, sometimes God asks us to do absolutely crazy things, not because he wants to drive us crazy, but he wants to see if we'll actually follow him, trust him. So, in a minute, we're going to douse this baby in the water. Now, just think about that. We're bringing a baby in, and we're pouring water over it and lathering up with oil. Why? What is that really doing? That's like going into the Grand River and dipping seven times and thinking that that's going to bring about change. What brings about change is that we're being obedient to God, regardless of how we feel about it. I mean, we may say we don't like water, or, you know, I have an allergy to oils. It comes down to this obedience. Think of the sacrament of reconciliation. How many of us are just too proud? Oh, no, we can go to God alone. We don't need, you know, blah, 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 blah. Do you know who I am? I am the king of Syria, Naaman. I'm not going to dip seven times in the water. Fine, stay in your sickness. That's the option that's being displayed for us today. And as they banter back and forth, finally, because Naaman is so tired of being sick, he does what Elisha tells him to do, and he comes out healed. And yes, his leprosy is gone, but more important than that, the change that God was trying to bring about is he became actually a good king, because now he has humility. And instead of running his kingdom like a dictatorship, because he's been humbled, he now all of a sudden starts to run his kingdom like a servant disciple, a servant king, a servant leader, and change takes place in the community. So think of the imagery of a leper. Leprosy is the falling apart of the pieces, no longer a whole. That's the way his kingdom was with his leprosy. Factions, you're over there, they're over here, you're over here. All of a sudden, because of his humility, the kingdom comes back together like a body that's been healed from leprosy. The arms come back, the legs come back. All of a sudden, and it flourishes. The sickness wasn't the leprosy, the sickness was his pride, his unwillingness to follow what appeared to be foolish prescriptions from God. Stand, sit, kneel, sing, respond, receive bread and wine because it's the body and blood of Christ. These all come down to obedience. Will we do what God has asked of us? Because after all, last week, he's given us that which we need to live out our vocations if we actually accept and follow. So this week we're just challenged to look at our obedience and our gratitude. Are we following what the Lord has offered to us to fulfill our vocation, to give him glory? And do we realize how much we have? And are we grateful? I'm assuming that's why you're here this morning. You are grateful. We've returned to thank him for the healings which have gone known and unknown, conscious and unconscious. So let's thank the Lord this morning for the grace that he gives us, the grace of giving us these sacraments, these commands, these prescriptions for healing, and thank him for all that he has done for us. And in gratitude, we're obedient to him.